do sign up for that. You sign up for people's lives to be in your hands, absolutely.
Keep listening for an emergency room nurse's experience during COVID-19 in 2020. I just have to tell you guys that my heart is so grateful for the opportunity to talk to my dear friend today about her experiences as an emergency room nurse. This is April 14th, 2020, and we are in the midst of COVID-19, and she is a frontline soldier to me. That's how I look at her, and I would not want to go into war with anybody else besides this girl. Her name is Alyssa. She is one of my dearest, most best friends ever. And I lived with her for more than 3 years. I love her so much. And when I say she is like a fierce, strong being, she is so that. But at the same time, she has the biggest heart of anyone I've ever met in my entire life. She is the most caring individual, genuinely, I think I have ever met in my entire life. And she goes above and beyond for the people that she loves. And I can only imagine what a fucking awesome nurse this girl is and always has been, but I can even, like, even more just imagine how strong-willed and how amazing she is during all of this. So I'm not going to ramble on. I just want to give her a call, and I want to jump in and talk to her about her experience so that I may gain a little bit more of an appreciation for all that she is doing and all that the people that she's with and all the people in the medical field are doing right now during COVID-19. So without further ado, this is KB in the backseat, and this is Alyssa, an emergency room nurse.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
Good, good.
Are you enjoying your day off?
Yes. Just got done cleaning, now I'm hanging out with
the pup. Nice. So I kind of just want to jump right in. You're on right now, and I'm going to keep everything.
Okay.
So I was thinking about things. I did a little intro about you, and I mentioned really briefly that we live together. And it kind of came up in my brain. I was like, I wonder when Alyssa was studying. For everybody listening, Alyssa would study constantly. Like, I would help her study. We'd be writing flashcards or like reciting flashcards, and she was studying to become a nurse. I'm wondering if when you were doing that, did you ever imagine anything like this would go on in the world?
No. I mean, it's funny you say that, because like I've said to people before, like when this started, like we learned about it in school, obviously, like we learned about what an epidemic is and like what a pandemic is, and like, you know, they use the example of, like, the bubonic plague and, like, stuff like that to, like, teach it to you. But, like, obviously when you're learning it, you never, like, it's like anything else. Like, you're invincible, you know? That's never going to happen to you type of situation. So, like, you don't actually think or, like, put yourself in those, that, like, those shoes and think that that's going to be, like, happening when you're a nurse. So it is crazy.
Yeah, I was wondering if they talked about this at all. Because I know my mom, so my mom's an RN as well. And I remember her talking about coronavirus. She's obviously talking about it now, but she said she had seen cases of coronavirus before, and this is like a different strain. But I didn't ask her, but I'm like, did they actually talk about the potential of a pandemic happening in school? And I guess that answers that question, that they did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so wild, though.
But
yeah.
You definitely don't think that you're going to, like, see one or be on, like, the quote-unquote front lines when it's occurring, you know?
Right, totally. All right, and then, honestly, my biggest question, I think that, like, first of all, we're seeing so many nurses on social media, and we're seeing so much support of nurses, which is awesome. But I feel like my brain immediately really does truly go to thinking about how it feels, or what you guys feel like walking into a room or an emergency room or a patient's room, knowing that they have this COVID-19. It's interesting, because for us, people that are quarantined or not working, it's like, it's this hidden thing. Like, there's no, you can't see it in the air, you know what I mean? But, like,
you're literally walking into it.
And
neither can you, you know, when you're up. But when you know that somebody's positive, it's a different situation, because you're like, okay, like, the chances of everything in this room being contaminated are 100%. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, it's not like a what if or like a, oops, I should have been more careful. Like, you need to make sure that, like, everything that you're doing is perfect and that you're covered head to toe and, you know, that when you even take off your gear, that you're doing it appropriately and not in the wrong order, because you can contaminate anything at any point.
Do you feel like there is a sense of, like, I don't know, in your intro I said, like, I wouldn't want to go to war with anybody besides you, because you're, like, an intense, like, person, and you're very caring, but, like, I would, you know, like, I know you're working your hardest and doing your very best, but do you feel like there's a sense, either with you or with anybody that you work with, of, like, fear going into this or going into a patient's room? Or
a lot, yeah, there is a lot of fear, and, like, I work with, you know, like, I'm not a mother myself, but there's, like, plenty of, like, people who are mothers to, like, babies who are just a couple months old, and, like, you know, a lot of us are, like, we'll go in for you, like, you don't have to go in, and, like, they even are, like, no, like, I'm a nurse, too, like, I'm not, like, gonna put you at risk, like, we're all at risk here, you know, like, but it's scary, because it's more lonely, and it's more, like,
more, you know, lonely?
They want you to go in by yourself.
Oh,
yeah,
wait, like that's my next question, that we kind of touched on it on a different conversation, but I wanted to know if this particular disease and how things are going, like, changes what you're used to doing. Like, are there massive changes to being a nurse right now, or are you in the emergency room? Like, obviously there's going to be changes, but what specifically, like, looks different for you as a nurse right now during all of this versus what it looked like before this started?
Okay, so, like, in any type of nursing, like, teamwork is always huge, like, but specifically, so I used to work on, like, the floors, which is, like, you know, once you get admitted to the hospital and you're there for a few days, like, I would be your nurse. And I actually have transferred down to the ER. I'll be, like, I'm almost, like, a year and a half now down there.
Wow, a year and a half? Liz.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
I know.
That's wild.
Kind of blue.
That is wild.
Yeah. But the dynamic down there is just, like, very different, like, and again, there's teamwork on the floor, but the teamwork in the ER is, like, the sole basis of, like, your work ethic down there. Like, everything is teamwork. It's, like, we're so used to everyone jumping in. Hey, I'll get a line for you. Hey, I'll hang the fluids. Hey, I'll grab the meds.
Well,
someone's getting vital signs. Someone. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, I would, as a layperson, not a nurse, I would imagine, like, if you're dealing with an emergency situation, it would be most beneficial, obviously, to have other hands on deck to help you do things.
Exactly, yeah. And, like, a lot of times with a real crashing patient, you know, you want to have, like, more than one IV line started, and you want to have, like, everything, like, done as quickly as possible, especially also in case they code and lose their heartbeat and
what
you can start CPR, you know, you can't.
Is crashing, can't do CPR did you say crashing?
Yeah.
Okay, is that, and then a code. Can you explain what those mean to me?
So crashing is basically, like, on their way to a code. So, like, crashing isn't a medical term. Coding is when your heart stops and, like, when you need CPR.
Okay.
Like, we describe crashing patients are just, like, really sick patients that look like they're on their way to needing, like, a breathing tube or CPR.
Got it.
They're crashing. Their vital signs are getting worse. They're not looking as good as they first came in. Like, they're going on a decline.
Okay.
They're crashing.
Got it.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's just, exactly. You want, you know, you want other hands in there, and you want other people for, you know, not only just their skills, but also their medical opinion. You know, sometimes stuff happens and you guys need to make sound decisions, but, like, quickly in the room.
Yeah.
But that's what we're used to down there. That's, like, our flow. And with everything going on, you know, we have to gown up and use PPE, which the world knows is on, like, this national shortage.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, they're trying to, like, limit the amount of exposure. So it's different now because they don't want five nurses running into a room. So if you're, like, the primary nurse, you're pretty much solo in the room, with the doc sometimes. Sometimes the doc isn't even in there with you yet. And, you know, you're all gowned up head to toe. And you're alone. And it's hard sometimes, you know, if they're a patient who's not as heavy and they're able to, you know, talk for themselves and tell you what's going on for themselves and able to move around for themselves and help you turn them,
yeah,
it's a little bit better. But there's patients that come from nursing homes that can't necessarily do any of that, and they're, you know, like, you can't take care of them by yourselves even if they were feeling okay, let alone when they're sick, not breathing well. So
I have two questions.
It gets hard.
Yeah, I have two mm-hmm. questions from that. I guess first, I'll ask them both at the same time, but first, does that put a sense of, like, do you feel the difference in, like, pressure on you as you have this life? And then, like, by yourself, obviously, there's more of, like, a soul pressure that you might, and emergency room nurses might not be used to, which might explain, like all these videos that rip my heart out of nurses that are like at their, you know, their emotional breaking point. I can imagine that's had a change. But then also, are the majority of the people coming in able to respond, or are they at the point where, because they tell us to wait and not go until we feel like we really need medical attention, are the majority of the people that come in able to like communicate with you and say this is happening, or are you just immediately in an emergency situation or not? I guess it's not a blanket statement, people are going to be at different levels, but like majority, would you say, is it complicated because you can't speak to them, number one, and then you're by yourself and there's this added pressure, or how do you, you know, what do you think?
I'd say that you definitely feel added pressure. Like, and again, it's not so much, oh, this person's life on my hands, because that pressure is always there. You know, you're always looking for somebody's life always in your hands. You kind of, like, know that's, you know, I've heard a lot of people say this is what nurses signed up for type of thing. Like, you do sign up for that. You sign up for people's lives to be in your hands, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, again, when you have other people's opinions to make those decisions at the bedside that you have to make, or there's other people next to you who have the skills that you might not necessarily have already conquered or whatever, it's a lot easier and better. It's like a crutch, you know?
Yeah.
And that kind of plays into fear, too. It's like you feel the pressure, and that makes you more scared, and again, you feel more alone and isolated, so it's a lot. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think a lot of nurses can overcome that, because that's who we are. We're nurses. We're there to take care of people. We're there to respond however their, you know, body is whatever they need, you know, however they're medically like responding, we need to appropriately give them the care they need.
And like I can so say, I want to just say quickly, like, I only, obviously, I know my mom's a nurse and, like, would hear her talk about things, but then seeing you studying and seeing you go through your training and living with you as you were going through your training, I feel like even though emotionally this is taking a toll on nurses, I don't for a second question nurses' best capability in doing this. Like, I have such a admiration for nurses because there's so much that you guys do. I understand doctors are another thing, but nurses are like truly to me on the front lines and so involved, and I do feel like you guys are trained for this situation. Even if there's added pressure, I totally just see that and get that and like notice that in so many.
Right. And like it's only like, and it's healthy, and like these nurses have to do that, and like we have to, you know, decompress, whether it's talking to each other in the break room or making these videos that go viral. Like, you know, they like, they're still great nurses, and they're still going to go back the next day and do what they have to do, you know, regardless of how they're feeling or how upset they are. But you know, it's part of like the natural, like when we have a person who goes and they don't make it and they die, we have to have, you know, a decompression situation where we all are in a meeting basically, and we all talk about it and make sure everyone's okay and on the same page about how things were handled and all that. So you know, it's only human nature to have to, you know, have those emotions and let them out.
Sure. Yeah. I guess I have one more question, really. And I want to phrase it right so it doesn't seem like insensitive at all, because obviously this is not a quote-unquote good situation and good happenings in the world, and so many lives are being affected and so many deaths are happening. But I want to know if you feel a sense of like anything, and again, good's not the word, but from a nurse's perspective, do you see any positive, like, other side of the coin coming out of this? And what do you think this looks like for yourself, like, in the future, whether that's 6 months from now or 6 years from now? What do you think, moving forward, we can kind of take from this as a light at the end of the tunnel type of vibe?
I mean, I hope we can take a whole lot from it. I hope that from, like, a nature world perspective, we can see how well this helped with pollution and all that stuff, everybody being inside, using less cars. I hope that we can advance in a way that we can keep that going without adding, you know, going right back to where we were and having like all the CO2 levels back up and all the like gas emissions and killing the ozone layer and all that stuff, because right now they're showing that like there's dolphins in Italy's canals, you know?
I know.
So I mean, I would hope that there's a way that we can be like, wow, we really are doing some damage to our world and we need to clean it up, you know?
Yeah.
I also think it's going to do a lot of difference to jobs. I obviously healthcare is probably the least like, we're the most and the least affected by this. Like, we, you know, we're not losing our jobs, and this is more job security to us than anything else. But it's also then making us a lot more busier, and we're putting our lives at risk every day, and yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But I do think for, like, the rest of the world, when it comes to businesses and stuff like that, like, I think a lot of companies are going to realize how much they were able to accomplish through online.
Yeah.
And maybe even, like, start to change the way that they run their businesses. I mean, I would hope not, because I feel like that's going to keep a lot more people out of work than would have to be. Mm. And I also feel like people just have this sense of, like, I don't know, like, that's life to us, you know? Like, this quarantine has people so backwards. Like, everyone's so used to a routine where they wake up and they go to work and, like, they get out of the house and, like, that's where they have their friends and they're, you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, part of their life. So
yeah.
I don't think that would be the best, but I also think businesses don't always look out for the best, you know.
Sure, yeah.
For their employees in that sense, you know, they're more looking out for their pockets, so...
It
just makes more sense for your pocket. They'll probably do that, you know?
Right. I mean, yeah, and you hope that. And there are some, as you see, like, people pitching in and businesses pitching in to help in whatever way they can. So hopefully some people in power will have, like, changes of heart and see the effect of, like, everything happening and want to make sure that moving forward they come from a very, like, moral place. But you can hope, you know? But I saw a couple things. One... First of all, I saw a post that I was like, this is the most important shit ever. I really think that nurses should have their student loans just wiped away after this. Like, you are so deserving of having your student loans wiped away. Like, I have this feeling of, obviously, the economy shut down and it cannot stay this way. But something like this just shows me, like, if they have the ability to do that, like, why would they not do that right now? You know?
Right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, there definitely should be some, like, level of compensation for people. And it's not just nurses. I think, like,
true.
It honestly breaks my heart when I see, like, I'm very grateful. And I think that there's, like it gives me a sense of, like, happiness and, like, wholeness and pureness of, like, how great people have been, like, helping, making homemade masks and donating things to all these hospitals. And, like, it's giving you, like, a sense of community, and it's great. I forget where I was going with that. I also, it, like, breaks my heart because I don't see a lot about, like, the EVS people, like, which would include, like, housekeeping and, like, security and, like, all these people that I'm sitting right next to every day. You know what I mean?
Right.
You are also, if I'm on the front lines and if you're within an arm's reach of me, doesn't that mean you're on the front lines? Like,
totally.
So it's kind of like, I feel like I would hope they would get some sort of compensation, whether it's as much as nurses and doctors or whatever get. Like, I would want them to get some type of spotlight. Like, it's not just us. It takes a lot more than the nurses and the doctors to run a hospital, you know, and that's including other healthcare workers too, like respiratory therapists and physical therapists. And just, like, there's a lot that goes into it, you know? So,
yeah.
I feel like if they're going to do something, like, they should do, I would rather them do a little bit for everybody than a lot for just nurses,
right.
If that makes sense.
Totally.
That's just my opinion, and I'm just, like, always a giving person. So.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm like, and that is your nature.
yeah.
I think for
but
me...
one thing I did want to...
No, go.
...say that mm-hmm. I didn't mention about, like, the difference in practice right now
uh-huh.
is... that, and, like, if anybody who, like, listens to this, like, has a loved one who's, like, in the hospital, like, who they aren't able to visit right now, and stuff like that, like, it's very hard. It's even hard for the nurses and the healthcare workers. It's hard for us because we feel bad and we want you to be able to be back there. It's also hard for us sometimes in the sense of our job when we can't communicate with the patients and we have to, you know, sometimes the daughter is the only person you can talk to them and stuff like that. So, you know, it's making our job a little bit more difficult communication-wise and everything else. But my heart just really goes out to the ones who, like, are losing their moms or their daughters or sons or whatever. And they're, like, aren't able to say goodbye. I mean, it's just terrible. It's different times right now. And you have to, like, understand why they're not allowing visitors. And it's honestly only for, like, your own health and protection. But,
mm-hmm. doesn't make it any less awful.
Very sad. Yeah. It honestly, it makes it worse, you know?
So, yeah. I know, like,
I have to go out to that.
Yeah. I can say from my grandma being in the hospital in the last couple weeks, like, we've been super appreciative of the nurses taking our phone calls and filling us in. And I felt and I got the sense that this isn't the norm because obviously you wouldn't have to be calling that way. You could be there. But they've done nothing but an amazing job to fill us in. I understand. I mean, I can only imagine how busy they are. And to add that, yeah, I'm sure that's a huge change as well to your routine that you're used to. But I think everybody's, like, doing their best, the best they can.
Right, right. And I think people have been also understanding, you know, when they do call in, they're like, thank you for taking my call. You know, it's not like they're like, why did you call back for 10 hours?
Yeah, yeah. You're like, kind of busy.
Right.
I think all in all, like, to sum it up for me, I don't know what the future looks like. And obviously I'm in a very different position than you, but I do know one thing is that I will have such a deeper appreciation just for the ability to go and do after this. Like, just so grateful to be able to go and, like, walk around near people or, like, go to the store, anything. I just feel like I'm going to have such a deeper awareness and appreciation for the gift of being able to exist in a normal way.
Like, go to the beach.
Yeah. Like, a new normal. Yeah.
Or, like, not feel like you have to wash your hands every 2 minutes.
Totally. My hands are getting dry.
Although, I just feel like that's never going to go away now.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, who even knows? We have such a future ahead of us. Like, it's going to be different than we... It's kind of just wild because it's something, like, in the beginning, how I asked you if you ever imagined this happening. I didn't even have the thought in my mind ever that this was, like, coming. You know, like, who did? I feel like we were blindsided as people on the level of...
Just to talk a little salt in there, and, I don't know, we were ending on a good note, but, and this is still, it's still a good note, but I think it's, like you're saying, this has never crossed your mind, and I think people should be aware of this. Like, this is honestly nothing compared to what it could be.
Right.
Like me and my boyfriend have always, like, we've had conversations before about, like, what would be, like, the end of human existence. You know, would it be a meteor hitting Earth? Would it be, like, medicine, like something like a virus like this or what have you? And it's just scary, and I don't want to be alive for it. And I hope it doesn't happen anytime soon. But, like, and I hope it never happens. But, you know, it's possible that this COVID-19 is bubonic plague. Like, this isn't nothing compared to what it could be. Like, we could have something hit our race that is going to be 80% mortality rate, not 2%.
I know. I actually had a conversation with somebody. Imagine, like, you don't want to at all. And I'm in the same boat. I don't want any of this to ever happen. I don't even want to, like, talk about it. So I don't want to put it out there. But, like, could you imagine if this was Ebola and Ebola came at this level? Like, do you remember all of the, like, Ebola was wild. And I saw a couple cases of Ebola were down somewhere in a different country. I don't know where. But, like, we gotta squash it now. Because if that was to spread at the rate that this had, I can't even fathom. It's a new normal. It's kind of like, to me, I've kind of been like, I had to adjust to this level of fear that I had in my life that I didn't have before. And it's created a new, again, appreciation for the people that I love in my life, but it also a nugget of, like, fear for the people that I have in my life and for myself a bit, but especially for people around me that are immunocompromised and that could be deeply affected more quickly than I can. Like, it just does. It puts a little bit of fear in you.
Yeah. So everyone should know that it is possible. So we got to keep doing what we can as humans to stop the spreading and all that stuff.
I know, and be responsible and stay home. I feel like I'm like the most responsible thing I can do is just stay under this roof, and that's what I'm gonna do.
Right, but it's just also like people, and I think a lot of people are doing that. You know, but people still have to go out and they have to get groceries, like they have to eat, like.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's almost impossible to stop the spread, you know? So, thanks. But, like, we've got to do what we can.
And we are.
It'll get better. There's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Totally. Do you want to say anything else? Or do we want to call it a day?
I think we can wrap it up.
All right, girl. I love you so much. Thank you so much for...
All right.
calling or letting me call you and pick your brain.
All right, love you too. See you later, KB.
Bye, girl.